Welcome to the Hateful Hitman Podcast. Brought to you by Hitman Fantasy Productions. Premier football coverage from college to NFL to fantasy and everything in between. And now, in the Hitman's Hideout, here's your host, Chris Strasbaugh.
Welcome into the Hateful Hitman Podcast, Tuesday night. It is week one review, week two preview, studs, duds, got all kinds of stuff to talk about tonight. Let's kick it off right now. Here we go.
Here's what we know.
Breaking news on the NFL Network and Sleeper. Le'Veon Bell has been placed on the IR. I don't know what the extent of the injuries is, hamstring maybe, but it opens a door for a whole lot of controversy, you know, in the Jets organization. What's that mean for us? Not much, because we don't get to say in what goes on. However, the team is planning to move forward with Old Man River, Frank Gore, as its starting running back. Now, I went and picked up Frank Gore in a deep league, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago when this whole Le'Veon Bell thing took off. He was available in the league, and it's a very deep league. And I thought, well, I'm going to stash this guy. Never thought it would play out to where I was going to need him week two, or he would be needed week two by the Jets. But, I mean, if he can still get it done, and he's 37, 38 years old now, we're talking a starting running back for an NFL team that I picked up, you know, on a whim. So, I mean, it may work out. Go check your waiver wires, check your free agent pools right now before it gets too late in the week and see if Frank Gore is available. It's worth a stash because running backs are hard to. More NFL news. Allen Robinson is aggravated with the Bears over contract disputes. I saw on Sleeper that he took down all his Bear stuff on social media. He deleted all his Bear pictures. His Instagram has all been wiped out of Chicago Bear stuff. I don't know what this means. I don't know if they're planning to trade him, if he's planning on holding out. I don't know what it means. So, definitely something worth watching if you have any shares of Allen Robinson, and I do have a couple, to see how this plays out with him going forward. And you know, it's not like he's a scrub. He's one of the better wide receivers in the NFL, and you know, was being counted on not only by the team but, you know, us as fantasy enthusiasts, you know, this year. So definitely be interesting to see what happens with him, and it's a situation worth paying attention to. More week one injury news. We're talking big time injury news here in two or three places. Starting Dallas, Blake Jarwin, torn ACL, out for the season. I had a lot of him all over the place. Scrambling for tight ends now, and there's not much out there. I don't put much stock in tight ends, so you know, there's not a lot to be said on my behalf with that, because I don't really value the tight end position. If you have one of the top three or four, you know, that makes a difference. But if you don't, you know, and I just traded away, literally before I went on the pod, literally traded Mark Andrews away in a league where it's a two-quarterback league, and my second quarterback was Sam Bradford. So I was freaking out already, so I traded Mark Andrews and Darius Slayton, who had a fantastic game last night, for the stack of Joe Burrow and A.J. Green. Short-term, it's a short-term, long-term thing for me because it's the College to Canton League, so I can keep them for as long as I want. But I know A.J. Green's, you know, best days are behind him. Joe Burrow's up and coming, but I thought with A.J. Green, if we can keep him on the field for at least two-thirds of the season, it's a win for me, and I can stay afloat because I drafted a team that's pretty much in win now mode. I got Dak as my quarterback one. I had Darnold as my quarterback two, and a completely depleted free agent pool. Like, we just drafted, we just sucked the pool dry. There's literally nothing left out there. But then when our incoming college players come in, you know, it will help, you know, restock our shelves on not only the bench, but also, you know, in the free agent market as well, because, you know, not everybody's kept, you know, in college. So the first year is going to be real tight, and we knew that. So free agency and waiver wire isn't going to be an issue, because it's not going to be a whole lot there unless somebody that's out there just, you know, comes to life. But so trading, you know, may be the lifeblood of this league. So I kind of panicked when I saw that I only had literally two quarterbacks when Foles, I drafted Foles late, and he lost a job to Trubisky. So, you know, in a two-quarterback league where quarterbacks went quick, I was kind of like, well, I better make a deal. So, you know, I put out there, I need a quarterback. Let's see what we can come up with. Kane Harder had a couple extra quarterbacks. He drafted Burrow, and it was a little bit much for me to give away, especially with getting A.J. Green, who's, you know, like I said, on the back nine of his career. But, you know, I also have a quarterback now with him and Dak, who are very young, and Burrow didn't look terrible. And he gets the Browns, who did look terrible in week two. So probably rolling him out there week two over Sam Darnold for sure. High ankle sprain is the diagnosis from Michael Thomas. Maybe the reason why he didn't have such a great game. He's going to try to play through it, but them high ankle sprains are aggravating. They stick around for a while, and if you don't nurse them properly, they just lag on, and you're dealing with an injury, you know, 6, 7, 8 weeks into the season. So you need to keep an eye on if you have any shares of Michael Thomas. Definitely did not show up in week one, and, you know, dealing with an injury, not as bad. Philip Lindsay also left the game Monday night. Status to be determined on his injury. Opens the door for more carries for Melvin Gordon, who had a decent game last night. So keep an eye on that. You know, we're talking week one, and we got a bunch of people beat up already. So it's to be expected. But you would also think with no preseason, you know, these guys are still trying to get their bodies in shape. So it kind of makes sense that we're going to see some of this. Hopefully it's nothing severe, and they can get some, you know, actual football conditioning underneath their belt and be okay by the time week two, three, four rolls around. All right, let's get going with the week one review here. We're going to start Chiefs-Texans. Not willing to say I was wrong yet about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but 138 yards and a touchdown, 25 carries in his rookie debut on Thursday night cannot be overlooked in the fantasy world. It was amazing what he came out and did after admittingly he was nervous. He didn't, you know, he was really nervous. No preseason and stuff, you know, understandably so. Good game for him. You know, and for the Chiefs, great start. Way to pick up where they left off. 34-20. Mahomes, 211, three touchdowns. Sammy Watkins, seven catches, 82 yards and a touchdown. Don't get fooled by the week one of Sammy Watkins, because it will disappear. Travis Kelce, another great game, you know, 6 for 50 and a touchdown. You get those numbers from him every game, you're going to have a great year out of Travis Kelce. For the Texans, Bill O'Brien was showing everybody the reason why he traded, you know, for David Johnson. 11 carries, 77 yards and a touchdown. Three catches, 32 yards for David Johnson through the air. You know, not a bad stat game for David Johnson at all. He had a really good day in his debut for the Texans. Deshaun Watson, nothing really spectacular. 253 through the air, a touchdown. Did have a rushing touchdown on six carries, so that kind of helped salvage his fantasy day. nothing too great here. Will Fuller, hey, look, if Will Fuller stays healthy, 8 for 112, even if you get 6 for 100 out of him, you know, or, you know, 5, 6, 80, 90 yards a week, and he can stay on the field, that's the key for him, and he would have a great fantasy impact for you, taking over, you know, as the number one guy there in Houston. Boy, am I glad that I was able to land a share, at least one share of Russell Wilson, if not for just week one. Seattle 38, Atlanta 25, and if you look at the stat line for Matt Ryan, which I'll get to in a minute, you'd have thought that they would have won that ball game. Russell Wilson, 322 yards, 4 touchdowns. I went against him in the touchdown-only league, and I went against Devontae Adams in that league. I went against Calvin Ridley in that league, so you get the idea of how my week went in that one. He also had 29 carries. Chris Carson, 6 for 21 on the ground. It's a little disturbing, only having 6 carries. He did have 6 receptions for 45 yards, 2 touchdowns. Had a great fantasy day on that note, but the 6 carries, maybe it's just because, you know, Russell Wilson was in a groove and they were just throwing. But if they're going to let Russ, you know, they're calling it let Russ cook. If they're going to let that happen, you know, it's going to be addition by, you know, subtraction with more passing, less running. And that is definitely a concern unless, you know, he's a bigger target in the passing game. DK, 4 for 95 and a touchdown. Lockett, 8 for 92. Like I said, you know, Greg Olsen, 4 for 24 and a touchdown in his debut with Seattle. Russell threw the ball all over the place. And like I said, if you look across the field there at, you know, Atlanta, you would think that with the day that Matt Ryan had, 450 and 2 touchdowns, that they would have won. He threw for 450 yards and lost. Gurley, 14 for 56 and a touchdown. Good day for him. And when you throw for 450 yards, you're going to have receivers go crazy. Julio, 157. Calvin Ridley, 130. Russell Gage, over 100 with 114 yards. And every one of those guys all caught 9 passes. In PPR, you had any of those guys, you hit the jackpot this week with Atlanta players. Still baffles me on how they can lose that game putting up that much offense. It's unreal. But when you look across and you see Russell Wilson just did even more, there's a difference for sure. Browns-Ravens, not much to see here. Lamar had a good game. Andrews had 2 touchdowns. J.K. Dobbins, the rookie, touch on him for just a minute. Ingram didn't do a whole lot. J.K. Dobbins came in, scored his first 2 touchdowns of his career. You know, in his first game, in a game where we all pretty much saw this was going to happen. Baker didn't look very good. The wide receivers didn't look all that great. The running game, Nick Chubb didn't do very good. Hunt, I mean, they split carries. That's kind of a ugly, you know. I hope that it shifts back to Nick Chubb, you know, more so than Hunt. Maybe it was game script or whatever, but if that's going to be the way it is for Cleveland, and they turn around, they got Cincinnati. So this is a winnable game for either one of these two, for the Bengals or the Browns. That game's on Thursday night, Battle of Ohio, week 2 here. And, you know, so it'll be interesting to see, you know, how the Bengals can turn around from a game that they should have won, you know, and the Browns just getting spanked, you know, by the Ravens. So interesting week 2 matchup with the Browns and the Bengals for sure this week. Bills-Jets, and I want to start right by saying I started Josh Allen in 2 leagues because I had a feeling he was going to have a good game against the Jets. I should have started him in that touchdown-only league I was just speaking of, because not only did he throw 2 touchdowns, he ran one in, and that's double points in that league. But instead, I went with Dak thinking it was going to be okay, and it didn't matter. I would have gotten steamrolled anyway because I went against Russell Wilson and, you know, like I said, but Josh Allen, definitely one of my studs of the week one, 57 yards rushing, and he also threw for 312. So if this is the Josh Allen we're going to see, then I'm so glad to be wrong, and I hope it continues. Stephon Diggs, 8 for 86, great debut for him. John Brown, 6 for 70 with the touchdown. Cole Beasley caught 4 passes. Devin Singletary caught 5 passes. You know, if they can keep this up, and I know the Jets aren't that great of a football team, okay, I get that, and they're going to face tougher challenges. But it's like anything. You grow with confidence. The more games you win and the more games you play in and the better you play, the more confidence you have. And this could be, you know, a sky's the limit season for Josh Allen, and I've got him in two or three different places, and, you know, I'm going to run him out there until schedule tells me not to. So, really good game from him. Definitely one of my fantasy studs this week. I'll talk about that a little bit later. The Raiders versus the Carolina Panthers, 34-30. Very interesting and very entertaining game. Derek Carr, once again, nothing to write home about. Very serviceable, you know, 22 for 30, good numbers there, 239, one touchdown. That's Derek Carr. That's Derek Carr in a nutshell, and, you know, he's going to give you those types of games every once in a while. He's going to go for three bills and throw a couple touchdowns. But the story here is Josh Jacobs, 25 carries, 93 yards, three touchdowns. Caught four more passes for 46 yards. I think I saw somewhere that was a career high in receptions. So if you have any shares of Josh Jacobs, he definitely hit for you this week. And, you know, as long as he's healthy, plan on seeing this kind of stuff from him, you know, at least the target share and the opportunity, you know, week in and week out. There's not a lot behind him. Devontae Booker, four carries, 29 yards. He did actually had a couple of catches. Decent compliment there. Henry Ruggs, 3 for 55 in his rookie debut. Darren Waller, 6 for 45. Great day for him at the tight end position. Not quite. Oh, yeah, double points. Double points in PPR right there, you know, from a tight end position. You'll take that all day. And I got to say, I like what I've seen, you know, from Teddy Bridgewater. 22-34, 270, only one touchdown. But, you know, that's a good day to start out with, getting him, you know, get his feet wet as a starting guy there in Carolina. He always has, you know, McCaffrey to hand the ball to, 96 yards, two touchdowns on the ground for McCaffrey. But the two guys I want to talk about here is Robbie Anderson and Curtis Samuel. There was a lot that was said that, you know, Curtis Samuel was going to take a hit. Well, I'm not sure what the targets were, but he caught 5 passes, you know, in week one. Not a lot in the yardage department, but he was, you know, he was at least targeted, you know, 5 times. And probably more. I don't have the numbers right in front of me. But Robbie Anderson, 6 for 115 and a big touchdown. And there's a lot of balance right there, okay? You got guys that can go across the middle, guys that can go long. DJ Moore, 4 catches for 54 yards. You want more there from him. But, you know, in a season, preseason where we thought, you know, Curtis Samuel may struggle, you know, with the new quarterback, you know, 5 catches, you know, maybe it turns into 7 next week and some yardage, and maybe he throws in a touchdown here or there. You know, a lot of upside here for Carolina. You know, even in a loss, it was a real close game, and, you know, you got to like what you see there, and you can hope for more of it, you know, coming from Carolina if you're a Panthers fan. Bears and the Lions, and this was a classic NFC North battle between the Bears and the Lions in a game that the Lions should have won. You know, you guys have probably all seen it by now. The rookie DeAndre Swift drops the game-winning touchdown in the end zone in a game where the Lions pretty much had it the whole entire game. And then Trubisky woke up, came to life, and had a great, you know, finish to this ball game and brought the Bears back. For Trubisky, 242 through the air, 3 touchdowns, no picks. And that's important. You know, he didn't turn the ball over. And, you know, that was very important leading up to this. Allen Robinson, talked about him at the beginning of the show, 5 for 74. You know, double points. You know, not a bad day. Anthony Miller, 4 for 76, caught a fantastic touchdown pass, you know, towards the end of the game to give the Bears the lead. And, you know, Is Trubisky going to be a little Jekyll and Hyde? I do not know. I don't know what we're going to see from him, you know, throughout the course of the season. But if he could stay consistent like this, he's definitely going to be serviceable, you know, for you on bye weeks, injuries, you know, things like that. Two quarterback leagues, you know, where quarterbacks are, you know, have a premium. You know, and if he can do this consistently, he's going to have a solid season for sure. For Detroit, look, there's something to be said when you're 120 years old and you can still put on pads and go out there and run against an NFL defense and have 93 rushing yards on 14 carries. That's 6.6 a carry, people. And I'm talking about, oh yeah, Adrian Peterson, who got cut from the Washington football team, lands in Detroit, and not only leads the team in rushing yards, but also carries and probably, you know, snaps on the field. T.J. Hockenson with a good game, 5 for 56 and a touchdown. Marvin Jones, 4 for 55. Obviously, Kenny Golladay did not play. He was ruled inactive before the day even really took off, so I'll be hoping to get him back. Amendola had a good game, 5 for 81 and Kenny Galladay's absence. You know, but I still can't get over what I've seen here from Adrian Peterson. 6.6 a carry, you know, against the Bears defense, which is decent. You know, so, I mean, what a great landing spot for him. And a buddy of mine, big Bears, big Lions fan, was all kinds of tore up about, you know, Detroit getting him when Washington cut him. And I thought to myself, I even posted on his post, I said, this makes sense to me. I said, I think this is a great pickup, and it's going to add depth for Kerryon Johnson and DeAndre Swift. Well, if this is any indication, week one leads into week two or three, AP is going to be the leading rusher for this team, and which is going to take pressure off Stafford and give, you know, the Lions, you know, a chance to win football games and a game that they should have won. They had this game won, and the rookie drops the game-winning touchdown, or else, you know, this is a different ending, and Detroit wins, and they're 1-0. So, you know, AP to the Lions, to me, made great sense, and in week one, it definitely showed up. Jags, Colts, Jags 27, Indy 20. I missed this game in our Pick'em League. I had Indy winning this game because, not going to lie, I kind of had Jacksonville winning about two or three games all season. And they've already won 33% of what I had them picked for. So, picked Indy to win this game, thought they would, but Gardner Minshew didn't throw a lot, but when he did, he was very efficient. Get these numbers, okay? This is coming right off NFL.com. 19 for 20, 173 yards and 3 touchdowns. Very efficient. Okay, the rookie James Robinson, 62 yards on 16 carries. That's not hateful. If he scores a touchdown there, it's a fantastic fantasy day. Keelan Cole, 5 for 47 and a touchdown. Laviska Shenault, the rookie, 3 for 37 and a touchdown. DJ Shark, 3 for 25 and a touchdown. So these guys didn't catch a lot of passes, but they all found their way into the end zone. The big-time booger that I seen was Chris Thompson. I was so all kinds of jacked up on Chris Thompson, thinking he was going to catch 10 passes. Well, he caught 2 for 6 yards, so as a counterpoint, I cut him in about 5 leagues this morning, the first chance I got. Because if that's going to be what we're doing, you know, I picked him up just for PPR, and all the rumors out of camp before week one was he was getting all the red zone catches and red zone work. Well, that obviously was a bunch of crap because he didn't show up in week one at all. I didn't watch much of this game, saw, you know, scores and highlights on red zone or whatever, but, you know, Phillip Rivers, 36 of 46 for 363. The numbers look good. He did throw 2 picks, but I hear he didn't look good doing it. I heard that there was some issues where he didn't look good throwing the ball and he didn't make very good decisions, but he did throw the ball, you know, 46 times, so that's a lot. Marlon Mack, 4 for 26, ended up out for the year with an injury, which opens the door for the rookie phenom Jonathan Taylor, who ended up with 9 carries and 22 yards. but you sprinkle in a little Nyheim Hines, who not only had one rushing touchdown, but he also had a receiving touchdown. And that makes for a real nice little 1-2 punch if they can both stay healthy going throughout the season. Paris Campbell, 6 for 71. Jonathan Taylor caught 6 for 67. That's where he made his big-time points, you know, in PPR leagues. You know, Phillip Rivers, he spread the ball around. He had, what, 7-8 guys catch the ball. So, you know, I don't want to panic on him just yet, but he is old, guys. He's old. He's getting in there. So, I mean, we're looking at he's got to have been better than what they've had. And, you know, that defense was pretty good for Indy. So, I mean, maybe Gardner Minshew is pretty decent. And if he can get any kind of run game and get his yardage stats up, Gardner Minshew could be a little darling for fantasy football this year. Packers, Vikings, we'll hit the high points here. Aaron Rodgers is mad, and he's playing mad, and he's probably going to play mad for 16 games. He went crazy, threw all kinds of touchdown passes, and they went into Minnesota and just beat the Vikings. The Vikings couldn't get anything going. Dalvin Cook did score two little touchdowns. Wasn't really anything that spectacular. He saved your day by scoring those because I think he had 50 yards rushing with not much, you know, through the air. So the two touchdowns definitely saved your day for Dalvin Cook. Hopefully that gets better, you know, going into week two. Still only trust one wide receiver there in Green Bay, and that's Davante Adams. He had 14 receptions. There's 14 points by itself. So, I mean, Rodgers came in. He was just throwing the ball all over the place. He's mad. He's mad they took a quarterback and didn't get him much help. And I think he's going to take it out on just about anybody he can, you know, until somebody steps up and stops him. Patriots-Dolphins. Patriots 21, Dolphins 11. Not really a big surprise here. I thought maybe it might have been a little bit bigger score differential. Didn't give the Dolphins much chance in this game. They just don't have a whole lot. Ryan Fitzpatrick was Ryan Fitzpatrick again. There was good, there was bad. At one point, I was kind of thinking maybe they're going to make the change, you know, and put Tua in week one. He was his hips full. He practiced in full. He's good to go. I think it's just a matter of, you know, if they're 0-2, 0-3. Yeah, you're probably going to see Tua probably sooner than they really want to, but they're going to see what they got, and they're going to put him in there. For the Patriots, Cam Newton, didn't see much of this game because I'm not a Patriots fan. I don't watch any of those games if I don't have to, but they did show his running stuff on the red zone. He ran two in, so, you know, obviously he's a little bit better. 15 and 19 for 155 yards doesn't blow you out of your chair. You know, could have been, you know, game script. He did carry the ball 15 times. Sony Michel, 10 carries. You know, maybe it was just game script getting things eased in there. I don't know what I think. 15 for 19 is good. He only missed four passes. So, you know, we'll see going into game two, game three, you know, as the season ramps up what he does. But right now, nothing that, you know, the two rushing touchdowns, you know, saved his fantasy day, or else he wouldn't have really had a whole lot at all. So, you know, I like I said, I don't have a whole lot to say good about Cam Newton anyway. So, you know, maybe looking at these numbers, I see different than what others see, but I don't see anything right here that's just, you know, spectacular, like, oh my gosh, Cam Newton is fantastic and he's the NFL MVP. But it's also week one. You know, we'll revisit this same conversation, you know. Moving right along, NFC East battle, Philadelphia, Washington. And if you look at the box score across here, you're looking at halftime, and it says Philly 17, Washington 7. And you're thinking to yourself, how in the world did Philly let that one get away and Washington come back and win? Scored 13 points in the fourth quarter and come back and win. Carson Wentz, 270, two touchdowns, two picks, kind of costly. Boston Scott, thank you for your service. You are dismissed. I cut him in a couple places this morning, first chance I had. Nine by much there, two catches, no thanks. And if Sanders is coming back, I thought maybe we might see a little bit more, you know, from him. So I did start him in two places. Cost me big in one league. Other league, I was able to pull out the victories. You know, you got to hand it to Washington. They kept grinding and they kept playing hard, and that defense was all over Carson Wentz. And, you know, I had a lot of negative comments for Chase Young, you know, coming in. He showed up in week one. His presence was there. He was all over the quarterback. He was a nuisance, you know, off that defensive line. So, you know, kudos to him in week one, you know, coming in and making his presence known as the number two overall draft pick. I'm not going to say I was wrong yet because it's just one game. But, you know, he definitely showed up and was a thorn in the backside of Carson Wentz for the entire game. I lost Blake Jarwin for the year, so I did go out and I put a couple waiver claims in for Dallas Goedert and a couple of leagues he was still available in. Fingers crossed, you know, that my fat fab wallet early in the season plays out, and, you know, I may end up having a decent tight end, you know, as a replacement for Blake Jarwin going down. 8 for 101 and a touchdown. Really good day for him. Jalen Reagor in a game I didn't think he was going to play. Caught one pass for 55 yards. I guess he dropped another one that would have been a big long one. DeSean Jackson, a big turd. I started him thinking he might, you know, shock the world with a big, you know, big opening game touchdown. Two catches, 45 yards. Not a whole lot there to really get excited about. Nothing in the running game. Maybe the reason why Philadelphia ended up losing this game was they didn't have a whole lot, you know, to balance their attack. For the football team, if you go on NFL.com and you go to scores for all these games and you go click over to stats, it actually says Eagles in one box and it says football team in the other. It is just weird, man. It's just weird to see it just say football team. It just throws you off. Meanwhile, also throwing me off was Dwayne Haskins, 178 yards, a touchdown. Hopefully you didn't start him because you didn't get a whole lot from him. I mean, no turnovers, that's good, and they were able to scratch and claw their way for a victory. One of my duds for the week, and I'll get to him in a little bit, is Antonio Gibson. We didn't know what to expect. Okay, it's week one. This guy's a rookie and no preseason. We didn't know what to expect from him. Well, he did lead the team in rushing yardage. Okay, so I guess if there's anything to build on, it's that. He led the team in rushing with 36 yards. Peyton Barber led the team in carries, and he also scored two touchdowns. Now, that doesn't mean I want anything to do with Peyton Barber, and I'm also not giving up on Antonio Gibson just yet. They brought this kid. So I'm really not surprised to see Barber doing what he did in week one in the rushing game. What I am kind of shocked at is Gibson only catching two passes. I was really looking for him to catch somewhere in the line of 7, 8. That would have been something that I would have, you know, not been too surprised at. But when he only gets two catches for 8 yards, that's what kind of throws me off and gives me pause. But like I said, I'm not ready to give up on him just yet. We're going to see how it goes through a couple more weeks, you know, with the Washington football team before I say I've had enough of Antonio Gibson for at least this year. Bengals, Chargers, and this is the one that got away. This is the one that got away. And I got to admit, I watched a little bit of this game, okay, because I'm not a Bengals fan. I'm not a Chargers fan, but I'm a Joe Burrow fan. Okay, I like his story. He's from Ohio, Southern Ohio here, you know, where I'm from and the state I live in. He's from down in Athens County. Ohio State didn't want him, so he transfers to LSU. You all know the story. Cinderella season last year, Heisman, national champion, the first overall pick. So, yeah, he won me a college championship. I've got him in the Devy League. I got a couple shares of him, so I'm definitely interested, you know, to see what he's going to do, you know, for the Bengals. And there's hope and there's life. His stat line's not really going to show it. 193, no touchdowns. He did throw a pick. But the intangible of the long touchdown run that he made was something you was never going to see out of Dalton. He tucked the ball and he ran and scored a real nice touchdown run. to salvage his fantasy day. It wasn't fantasy stats that just knocked you out of your seat. Okay, it's the allure of things to come with Joe Burrow, and you know he's going to progressively get better. You know, the kid's got a quiet confidence about him, and you can just see it. You know, he's got what it takes, and I think if, you know, given time, weapons, health, you know, and a decent run game, which was good, not great. I mean, Mixon only had 69 yards. Really thought that the Chargers did a good job of maybe making Burrow, you know, kind of beat them. You know, because the Chargers are a good defense, even without Derwin James. They got players everywhere on that defense. So, I mean, it was a good test for the young rookie and Joe Burrow, and, you know, I got to give him a pass. A.J. Green, 5 for 51. That is a great player to have to lean on if you're a young quarterback. I said this last week. If you've got Joe, you're the rookie Joe Burrow, and you've got one of the best receivers to play the game, you know, throughout the last 10 years, not just, you know, of the last 10 years, but he's, when healthy, A.J. Green is one of the top wide receivers in the league. Now, I just made a trade for him, like I said it before this podcast. It's my one and only share of A.J. Green probably ever, and he's in the twilight of his career. I get that, but if he can stay healthy and help Joe Burrow get into year two or year three, man, the sky's the limit for this kid, and A.J. Green does nothing but help him out there, you know, and a big-time presence to throw to going forward. All that being said, the Bengals have the ball. They're driving down the field. Burrow takes the snap, rolls to his right. He has A.J. Green at the pylon, catches the game-winning touchdown. But they called A.J. Green for the push-off. Was it a push-off? A little bit. But Burrow didn't waver in that time. He did what a quarterback does. He played his game. He got him down there, and he put him in a position to win. Now, A.J. Green pushed off, got flagged for it. Touchdown didn't count. Bengals end up losing a tough one. You know, pretty much, I think that may have actually been the last play of the game, and a heartbreaker, 16-13 to the Chargers. I wonder what Jameis Winston was thinking if he looks across the stat lines of the Saints-Bucks game and sees that Tom Brady not only threw one touchdown, but two interceptions in his debut. This is a surefire Hall of Famer. They call him the GOAT. I don't. Some people do. And he comes in and throws two interceptions against a very good Saints team in a game where the Saints should have won, and they did, 34-23. You know, Drew Brees is Drew Brees. You had two first ballot, just hand them the jacket 5 years after they retire, quarterbacks going against each other. It was a good game. I guess Bruce Arians was very critical of Tom Brady's mistakes. And, you know, that's going to be something new that we see going forward. It's one of those deals where you don't want Tampa's one loss to turn to two, because then they may get a little confidence issue going on. I wonder if they lose two or three games, if Brady starts to waver a little bit. You know, maybe I am a system guy. So many possibilities and ways this could go. And I'm not even going down that road just yet, but definitely going to be fun to watch this unfold this year with Tampa. You know, and for the Saints, you know, you got Michael Thomas, who got hurt. Hopefully, you know, he can work through it. High ankle sprains, they aren't something you can take lightly. Kamara, he got in the end zone on a receiving touchdown, had a really nice catch and run for a touchdown. So, you know, the Saints are poised, and they've got what it takes. They got a good defense as well. I like the Saints this year. Of course, I always like the Saints because I'm a Drew Brees kind of guy, and I like Sean Payton. But interested to see, you know, how they can build off of this, and you know, because they play in a tough division as well. So, you know, I last week I had picked the Cowboys and the Steelers to go to the Super Bowl. I'm still going to hold on to that for the moment, but if Dallas don't get some things changed, they may end up with, you know, another ticket and not even make the playoffs this year. In the Pro Pick'em League, there's 20 of us in the Pro Pick'em League. And we made a Facebook page out of it, and I went on there today, and I said, show of hands, who took the Cardinals over the Niners in week one? And I did. I wavered on it for a little bit. I took the Niners for a minute, and I went back in. I said, you know what? Kyler Murray beat him twice last year. Maybe this guy just has their number. So I went back in, and I thought, well, I think everybody's going to take San Francisco. So I'm going to, in the Pick'em League, I'm going to take Arizona. And, you know, I'm willing to take the loss, but if I'm willing to also, if half the league takes, you know, San Fran and I take Arizona, I could be, you know, a leg up and get an extra game. And it worked out. So 24-20, really good game. I watched a lot of this because I have a lot of Kyler Murray. And he didn't disappoint. 26 for 42, 30 with a passing touchdown. 13 for 100. I'm giving him 100 because you shouldn't be penalized for yardage when you're kneeling down to win the game. I just don't think that's right. They got to get rid of that. And he ran a touchdown in. So he had 100 yards, but the kneel downs knocked him down to 91, or he would have had a 100-yard rushing game. And I think that needs to be addressed. If you're kneeling down to win the game as opposed to trying to rub it in and go put up more points, you shouldn't be penalized for that if you're the quarterback. The big news, DeAndre Hopkins, the big trade in the offseason, and he was targeted often. 16 targets, 14 catches, 151 yards, didn't score. But with 14 catches and 151 yards, there's almost 30 points right there just, you know, in receiving and yardage alone in PPR leagues. So, you know, if this is any indication to come, I've already cut Christian Kirk. He was one of my guys. He was one of my hitman's hit list beginning of the season. If this is what we got to look for from Christian Kirk, I don't want no part of it. And I went and I cut him in two leagues this morning. Just to make room for some other stuff, injuries and whatnot. But Hopkins is the same story with a different team. You know, target, 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 target. And he brought down 14 catches and, you know, eight. They looked fantastic. And there was a couple of times where it looked like they were kind of getting frustrated with each other. But, you know, when you end up with a day of 14 and 151, if you're Hopkins, you just shut up and wait for week two. Kenyon Drake, 16 for 60, touchdown, salvaged his day. You know, I guess if you get these numbers from him all year long, you're happy. Obviously, he's not going to score in every week, so you're going to want him to have, you know, yardage or some catches, you know, to sprinkle in there because he only had two catches. But, you know, if he gets 60, 80 yards and a touchdown, you know, every other week, you know, that's a good. But hopefully it's more because I drafted him and he was drafted higher than that. And he was drafted to be your running back two, and those are kind of running back three numbers. But you want more. But you got to like what you've seen. Arizona hung in there, and they put their nose to the grindstone, and they just played tough. And you know they've got San Francisco's number, and they can play him and they can beat him. You know, wherever it's at, playing out there in the wildfire area of San Fran was all smoky and hazy, and they went in there and they won, and you know, looking forward to seeing what Kyler Murray can do for my fantasy teams, you know, as we trek through the season. Cowboys Rams 20, Dallas 17. Coaching blunder there down inside the red zone. McCarthy should have kicked the field goal to tie the game, and he didn't. And you know, that's the final score. I mean, if he kicks the field goal, it's 20-20. And, you know, who knows what happens, but he went for it on fourth down, didn't get it. The Rams took over, and the Cowboys never got close again. The penalty call on Michael Gallup and Jalen Ramsey, I think that was pretty good acting. You know, I'm a Ramsey fan because he went to Florida State, of course, but, you know, I that call was – it was wrong. I don't know how you can call that. That would have been a huge play changer. It would have swung the game. And it would have given Dallas a chance to come down and retie the game with another field goal or whatever. But, you know, Dak, not a great game. Cooper, I was wrong about that. He had a really good game. He was targeted a lot, caught some passes. CeeDee Lamb, did well. Gallup had a good game, would have been a better game, you know, had that catch that he got called back on counted. They lost Leighton Vander Esch. I don't know for how long, but it's a collarbone issue. This kid can't stay healthy anymore. He's had one or two good years, and he's been hurt ever since. Kind of starting to get to the point in IDP leagues where I'm about to wash my hands of Leighton Vander Esch. When he's healthy, he's a great talent, but, you know, he can't stay healthy, and it's always something with the head and neck area with him. And I believe I'm done with Leighton Vander Esch, and I look to move him or whatever in leagues where I can. For the Rams, Robert Woods, fantastic fantasy day. Targeted like crazy. Reception, reception, reception. That first drive was like, holy crap, he's going to catch 20 passes tonight. Really good day for him. Jared Goff, ho-hum. The running game, I did put in a waiver claim for Brown. I still think this is going to be Cam Akers at some point. I guess Cam Akers was he had the second most missed tackles this week. He made five or six guys miss, so he was up among the league leaders and making people miss. That shows footwork and stuff. So, you know, there was good things from him. He did have a lot of the target share, a lot of the snaps. So I'm hoping as we get going forward, you know, that he is the guy. But I did pick up Brown in a league where I have Akers, you know, for some goal line work and stuff, as far as he may be the guy down inside the five for now. Steelers, Giants, Pittsburgh 26, New York 16. Le'Veon Bell didn't even get up off the canvas. They came in with a plan, and they were going to shut him down. And that Steeler defense, I spoke about this last week, that Steeler defense is legit. Bud Dupree was literally in every single play on defense. He was always there, everywhere, raising havoc in the backfield, tackles for loss, sacking the quarterback. He was all over the place. Bud Dupree went crazy. My dude Vince Williams had a big, nice sack, you know, dude from Florida State. They was all over Daniel Jones, and Daniel Jones still played good. I mean, he had two touchdowns to Slayton. They played good, but, you know, they just couldn't get going. That Steeler defense was just too much for them. And Big Ben came out. He was rusty. He didn't look great at all through almost the entire first half. And then he threw a touchdown pass to Juju. And you could just see right there. The rust came off, and then it was Big Ben, and he was hitting everything in the second half. And you could just see that it didn't take him long to get back into a rhythm, and he looked good in the second half. And that's the reason why the Steelers were able to beat the Giants 26-16. Did not stay up for the Broncos and Titans, going to be honest with you. Rewatching it right now on NFL Network. Titans 16, Broncos 14. I'm not sure what I missed. Doesn't look like a whole lot. Derrick Henry didn't get in the end zone. But Tannehill had a good game. 249 and two touchdowns. That's good. You know, you don't expect Tannehill to throw for 300 yards very often, but to get that close with two touchdowns in a game, probably the difference in this one, and that's the reason why Tennessee was able to squeak out the victory. Derrick Henry did go over 100 with 116 on 31 carries. It's only 3.7 a carry. Denver may have came in to stop him. Like I said, I didn't watch this game. I really don't know. Corey Davis, surprising 7 for 101. Don't buy into that Kool-Aid, because we've done that before. Okay, I still do not want anything to do with Corey Davis. Now, if he does that every week for 5 weeks, I'm going to wish I'd picked him up in places. A.J. Brown, the other big wide receiver there, 5 for 39, nothing spectacular. Jonnu Smith, 4 for 36, caught one of the touchdowns. For Denver, I was a little skeptical. You know, coming out against a very good Tennessee defense, Drew Lock looks like he threw him pretty good. 216 yards of touchdowns, no picks. Okay, that's good. You know, no turnovers is what you want to see out of them quarterbacks from week in and week out. And he's growing. He's progressing, you know, and that's their guy in Denver. So it's his job to lose, and, you know, he played good last night. Really did. Melvin Gordon, 78 yards and a touchdown on 15 carries, and now Lindsey's hurt. having an MRI scheduled the way it looks like. So maybe Melvin Gordon gets those 7 carries that Lindsey may vacate, and maybe even some more. So Melvin Gordon may be a good guy for the next couple of weeks if Lindsey is not able to give it a go. On the week, we're going to hit on these, just some overviews here, because we're almost working on an hour already. Starts Thursday night, Browns-Bengals. Both teams 0-1. Browns didn't really show up against the Ravens. The Bengals had a chance to win. Can't wait to watch this game, and that's hard for me to say because I started getting the NFL ticket, you know, 10, 15 years ago, so I didn't have to watch the Browns and Bengals because it was such a yawner that you didn't want to watch those games. So, but this game has a lot of interesting parts. Joe Burrow, you know, A.J. Green, can Baker Mayfield, you know, pick it up? You know, the wide receivers there, the running game for the Browns, what's it going to be like? David Njoku placed on the IR. So, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of fantasy implications in this game. Interested to see, you know, who comes out on top of this one. Falcons-Cowboys, couple of 0-1 teams. And like I said, the Falcons played good enough to win. They had numbers good enough to win. They just got outplayed by Seattle. The Cowboys, they got some answers. They got some questions to answer. And, you know, they're at home. But here comes this Atlanta offense that put up 450 passing yards with Matt Ryan last week. That Cowboys secondary did not impress me Sunday night. I was actually aggravated with some of the things they was doing and giving up, you know, in the passing game. Like I said, Robert Woods went crazy on them. So a lot of questions needs to be answered with that one. Another matchup of 0-1 teams. The Vikings travel to Lucas Oil to take on the Colts in a game where, you know, both of these teams probably thought coming in they were going to end up, you know, 1-0 to start the season. But instead, they're both 0-1, and, you know, one of these teams, do the math. I'm not a great math guy, but if you do the math on this, you got two 0-1 teams. Okay, they don't play for ties in the NFL. So somebody, get this, somebody's coming out of this game 0-2 and got a lot of questions to answer, you know, on teams that, you know, are supposed to be better than 0-2. Rams coming out east to play the Eagles. And, you know, you want Carson Wentz to answer. Okay, but here comes the Rams and Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald. And, you know, they've got people all over the place. Leonard Floyd had a good game the other night. You know, they've got a good defense. And you're hoping that the Eagles get Miles Sanders back. And, you know, it's looking like he's trending to play, but it's only Tuesday. So, you know, but it's the Rams. And Zeke scored a couple of touchdowns. But, you know, Zeke struggled, you know, to run the ball. And that may have been the reason why the Cowboys ended up ultimately losing, was Zeke didn't really get going, you know, other than the 2 touchdowns, which saved his fantasy day. But, you know, Miles Sanders isn't Zeke. So, you know, the Eagles may come out of this 0-2, which is fine by me, which would put the Rams at 2-0 and, you know, in really good place, you know, out there in the NFC West. Doesn't get any easier for the young quarterback in Denver as they come into Heinz Field to take on Pittsburgh. 0-1 Denver taking on the 1-0 Steelers. And, you know, Drew Lock, you know, I just talked about it a little bit ago. This Pittsburgh defense is good. And, you know, they was all over, you know, Daniel Jones. I don't see any reason why they're not going to come in and just chew up, you know, Drew Lock as well. I think Drew Lock's going to struggle, and they're going to get after him the way they did Daniel Jones just last night. And, you know, I don't think any reason why Steelers don't come out of this one 2-0. Bucks-Panthers in a battle of 0-1s. Tough game. Tom Brady's got another tough game. You know, Carolina played okay. You know, that defense is looking good. Tom Brady's going to want to get back up off the mat and, you know, fix the mistakes that he'd made, you know, last week against the Saints. So it's going to be interesting. Another one of these teams that's going to be 0-2 when all the smoke clears and automatically 0-2, and you got some questions to answer right off the bat. You know, if the Panthers go down to Tampa, you know, and Tampa gets out of here with the win, and Carolina's 0-2, you know, all of a sudden there starts finger pointing and what's going wrong and, you know, how can we fix this before, you know, the season gets away from us, you know, just 2-3 weeks. Washington football team versus Arizona Cardinals, and, you know, for Kyler Murray, it doesn't get a whole lot easier, does it? I mean, they went from San Francisco, and now they've got, you know, Washington. We talked about Chase Young, and that defensive front four for Washington is legit. It's really good. You know, they do have some questions to answer on the offensive side of the ball, but that defense, you know, could get after Kyler Murray, and, you know, they've got the weapons to get to him, and, you know, he may have to rely on, you know, his maneuverability in and out of the pocket, and, you know, in order to, for this team to win and to get to 2-0. For Washington to get to 2-0, it's just the same. You slow down Kyler Murray, you stop him, and, you know, you don't let him get, you know, the 14 catches to DeAndre Hopkins, and you're probably going to put yourself in a situation to where you can win and get yourself to 2-0, and a very shocking 2-0 it would be in the NFC East. And they would be at the top of the NFC East at 2-0 because the Giants lost, and the Eagles lost, and the Cowboys lost. So if they win 2-0, they're all by themselves, a game up in the NFC East. And this is Washington we're talking about, a team who could have potentially been, you know, number one or number two in the draft again. So, you know, that's why they play the game, people. Two more to talk about in the Week 2 preview. Seattle, New England, this is good. This is going to CenturyLink, no fans. Okay, there's no 12th man. That place is going to be a ghost town. Be interesting to see how that works, because it said that, you know, it's supposed to be one of the loudest because of the acoustics and all this. It really makes it just crazy for the opposing quarterbacks. But, you know, we're not going to have people in the stands, so it's going to be different. I would love to see Seattle, you know, beat New England, get off to a 2-0 start, you know, send New England clear back east with a 1-1 record. Russell Wilson doing a lot of what he just got done doing, hitting his receivers. Maybe get Chris Carson a little bit more carries, get him a little bit more involved in the running game. You know, but also find a balance to where Russell Wilson, you know, still has, you know, good numbers. You know, and Seattle would be a force, you know, going Monday Night Football, Raiders and Saints. I'm going to go ahead and say that the Saints are probably going to win this game, but it's going to be really fun to watch Josh Jacobs on Monday Night Football, you know, against this Saints defense. You know, there's no red zone, so you're going to be able to sit down and watch these two teams play, you know, about every snap and get an idea of just how good Josh Jacobs can be this year and what he's going to bring to your fantasy teams. And I got a couple of shares of him, and I wish I had a couple more. I traded him away in the Hateful Hitmen League and kicked myself all day when I went up against him in my own league, and he scored 3 touchdowns against me. So, going to be a fun game on Monday night. Look forward to seeing who comes out on top there. One team's going to 2-0 for sure in that one. Week 1 studs and duds, and I'll get out of here. Was able to salvage a 5-7 week 1. I thought it was going to be like a 3-9 deal. Was able to come up. I had some big IDP players come up for me last night. Johnson from Denver was huge for me. I was able to wiggle and take a 5-7 week 1, and I'll take that and a very questionable week 1. We didn't know what we was going to see. I'm already going through making some adjustments. Some of my lineup, some of these guys are getting cut. Some guys are getting brought in, moving some guys up, moving them around. Made a trade already. I got another trade I'm going to reject here just as soon as I get done with this. But you got to stay water. You know, you hear that on a lot of different podcasts. You got to stay liquid, and you got to be able to move, and you got to flow with it. Week 1, we learned some things. Okay, like I always say, I never lose. I either win or I learn. Well, I learned that in several leagues, things weren't working. So you got to stick with what works. You got to move to what does work. So 5-7 for the week 1, I'll take it, because it could have been way, way worse. I got some studs and duds here. On the stud side, you know, it's got to be Josh Jacobs, number 1. 3 touchdowns. He caught the ball. I think it was his career high in receptions. Definitely my number 1 stud. Kyler Murray, my number 2. ran one, threw a couple, and stayed poised in a game with a lot of you know outside stuff going on with the wildfires and all that. Stayed poised in San Francisco. I know there was no crowd or anything, but you're still on the road. You're not in your home stadium, you know, and was able to beat the NFC champs again. Definitely loved Kyler Murray as one of my studs this week. The next three guys you can all clump together. I love Josh Allen. Definitely love Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. Those three guys cannot be overlooked as fantasy studs. If you had them in your lineup, you did fantastic. Aaron Rodgers is on a mission. Russell Wilson, if he stays on par, could end up, you know, in the MVP conversation. And Josh Allen keeps the turnovers down, works on his accuracy, and he's able to use his feet as a huge weapon in fantasy. Love all of those guys in week one, and I love Russell Wilson and Josh Allen going forward. Three duds I want to talk about, and the first one may have been an injury dud, but you don't get to see it very much, so he had to make the list. Michael Thomas, you're used to seeing him with 10 catches, 12 catches, something like that for 130 yards. Didn't happen in week one, made the dud list. Maybe it was an injury thing. Maybe they just took him out of the game, you know, game schemed him out of it or whatever. Interesting. I got two shares of Thomas in different leagues, and you know, I hope this isn't a sign of things to come. Hopefully he gets himself healthy and we get him back to catching 8-10 passes a game, which is what we're used to seeing. Christian Kirk, I spoke about him as one of my guys in the offseason, one of my fantasy hit list. I thought he'd have a bigger role, and he had basically zero role. So, you know, if that keeps up, he's not going to do much. I've already cut him a couple of places. Didn't do anything for you in fantasy this week. I had him going in two places, and he let me down big time. So definitely a fantasy dud there. Another one, Antonio Gibson. There was so much hype, and this is the reason why he's a dud. There was so much hype with him coming in. You know, what's he going to do? The AP's gone, and Geist got cut because he's a moron. So what? We got this rookie here. We got this nice, shiny piece who can run, who can catch. We can move him all around. And, you know, he did lead the team in rushing yards, but he didn't do much in the receiving game, which is where I thought he would shine in week one, you know, getting him out in space, moving him around, and using him to the best of their ability. Definitely a week one dud. Now, I'm not cutting him anywhere. I'm not getting rid of him because I got too much invested in him, you know, high draft capital. But definitely not playing him every place in week two. May throw him in one or two places just to see how it changes. And, you know, maybe it's game script, but, you know, like I said, if Washington football team can play a game where they're going to win and get at top of the division early in the season, you know, there may be something for him to catch the ball and run the ball and stuff, you know, in space. I'm not giving up on Gibson just yet. That'll do it. That was a lot. Week one's in the books, people. Week two is on our doorstep. We got Wednesday, get your waivers in, get your bids in, and then Thursday we kick this thing back off again with the Bengals and the Browns, Battle of Ohio. My name is Chris Strasbourg. You can find me on Twitter at Hateful Hitman. You can find the podcast just about anywhere these days, Podbean, Stitcher, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Pod, Google Pod. The list goes on and on. Appreciate all the support. Hope you guys had a good week. Hit me up on Twitter with your questions. Let me know how you did, win or lose. Have a great week. See you next time on The Hitman Show.